south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, today I'm kind of glad I don't have a sponsor or sponsors for the show. Or they're called patrocinadores in Spanish. In other words, if you have someone paying the bills for your program. You know, annoying advertisers pushing Tide, Coca-Cola, Trojans, Alka-Seltzer. Well, as you probably figured out, we don't have any advertisers, so they can't tell me what to do and they can't censor me either. That means I'm not beholden to anyone except you guys out there. If you don't like it, you don't listen, right? And in a way, that's really good, especially considering today's show, which I know is going to piss off certain large brain-dead sectors of society. Sectors of society, I might add, I don't particularly give a rat's ass about. So, in a few minutes, I am going to read an email that'll get the ball rolling. Oh, and you might find this interesting. Before I started doing the Expat Files show, been doing this show about 8 years now, I worked in radio as a host in various Latin American radio stations and markets. My shows in Latin America started around the year 2000. And you know, for some years, I was the morning gringo guy. So, here's how it went. Down here in Latin America, before the internet really kicked in, that was around 2005, every major market, and there were at least 20 of them, had a popular radio station with a show that had a gringo host. In many cases, that was me. Now, a Latin media market is usually based around a big capital city like Mexico City, Panama City, Bogota, San Jose, Costa Rica, Guatemala City. They all had generally one radio station with a gringo guy in the morning serving the rush hour traffic on the way to work or school. By the way, in the 1990s, Latin radio stations tried to have an English-speaking program in the morning using a Latino disc jockey or host that was bilingual, that could speak English. But that did not work at all. They absolutely did not know how to do rapid-fire, halfway intelligent, first-world gringo radio. In the end, they gave up and started hiring real live gringos like me. So then you might wonder, who would listen to such a program? Well, all the gringo management running franchises like Costco, McDonald's, Wendy's, various banks and pharmaceutical companies. All the big gringo transnationals here in Latin America have a couple of gringos on staff too, and they love their English radio, as do all the British, American, Australian, and Canadian embassy people. Not to mention you've got all those children of the rich, the top 5%ers, going to private bilingual high schools and universities too. They were nuts about real English language radio and English language music too. Then you've got those thousands and thousands of gringo wannabes, mostly Latinos with a little money, upper middle class and wealthy Latinos who occasionally go to my jammy shopping. Man, I tell you, they want to be like gringos in the worst way. They subscribe to U.S. cable TV in English, and they'd listen to English language radio programs like mine. It's kind of a social mobility, bragging rights, moving on up thing to put a bumper sticker of an English language radio station on your car. In fact, they'd even go so far as to put U.S. sports team stickers and decals on their cars, too, like Raiders, Bulls, Yankees, Dolphins. It's funny, you see stickers like that on people's cars, yet they don't know anything about the team, nor do they watch the team. It's really not about the team. It's about showing your neighbors and friends that you have a connection to the United States through that team somehow, even though you don't, though that's supposed to make you cool. Get it? Good, because I don't. So anyway, at those radio stations, the token gringo had the drive-by spots. That would be from 6 in the morning to 8, and then from 5 at night to 7. I worked both spots at various stations. Yep, back then, if you happened to be in a big city in Latin America, you just might have heard my annoying Midwestern twang. But I wasn't just a regular DJ. My shows were basically free-form BS sessions with lots of callers. And usually, the bosses and the station managers would tell me I had to play one song of my choice every 15 minutes. The rest was just me blathering, taking phone calls, having quizzes, and giving away free stuff provided by my sponsors, my patrocinadores. Now, if you take apart that word, patrocinador, you'll see it's got the English word patron in it. So that's what they were, my patrons. And because mine was almost always the only show completely in English, my listeners were obviously expats, gringos, and Latinos who spoke English. And those particular groups always tend to be in the higher economic demographic. And the sponsors knew that, so I had the best sponsors. Let's put it this way, the Chicken Bus crowd did not listen to my show. Now, I have to say the great majority of people listening were gringo wannabes. And for most of them, their greatest desire was to visit the Magic Kingdom, Disney World, and of course, the unofficial capital of Latin America, my jammy. Hey, I poop you not. Crazier yet is that I had a ton of listeners who'd been up in the States illegally and got caught and deported. And once back in the home country licking their wounds and knowing a little bit of English, they craved all things English because they missed living in the U.S. They wanted to snatch every little bit of it they could, including listening to my show. Oh, and get this, little did I know, but I found out in good time. It was actually considered a status symbol to have your radio tuned to an English-speaking station, even if you barely understood what was going on or didn't get the jokes or the stateside references at all. You'll notice that phenomena a lot when you go into a professional office. Physicians, dentists, lawyers, accountants, in upscale stores and upscale shopping malls too, even way off the gringo tourist trail where really there are very few English speakers around. Now you might remember, not so long ago I was talking on a show about how many times I'd get into an Uber or a regular cab and the driver would have his radio tuned to an English music classic rock station. And even though most drivers don't know enough English to be able to understand the words in any of those songs, it doesn't seem to be all about the music, but more a weird kind of marketing. That's especially true with airport taxis. In a way, they're trying to demonstrate that they're cosmopolitan, kind of hip with the trip, ready for gringo primetime. In other words, maybe that'll encourage a gringo-sized tip. And I mentioned how in the last few years, a particular station's been syndicated out of L.A. It's called Kiss FM. All the DJs are gringo, all the music is classic rock, though it is completely canned and pre-recorded. And really, to my mind, and I'm a fairly competent judge of music, I played in many bands and done a lot of gigs. Anyway, in my opinion, that famous syndicated Kiss FM radio station that's all over the big markets here in Latin America, they play some real classic rock schmaltz and crap. There is a difference, you know. There's good classic rock and crap classic rock. If you don't believe it, here's a little test to measure your own taste in so-called classic rock music. All right, you ready? Tell me which side of the classic rock spectrum, from solid gold to soft, mushy poop, you'd place the following artists. Kenny G, Michael Bolton, Air Supply, and Barry Manilow. Wait a minute. Quiet, just a second. I can hear some toilets flushing right now. But I digress, as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. We were talking about that ubiquitous canned syndicated radio station Kiss FM and what it's done to Latin America. So, in effect, because of syndicated programs like that, Latin American radio markets don't need gringos like me live anymore. So, anyway, as mentioned, my shows were always kind of like the morning and evening flagship shows because all the really cool sponsors wanted to advertise on my show. Sponsors knew damn well that an English-speaking audience was a higher demographic and they could afford to buy their stuff. And man, did I have some great sponsors. I had a name for my group of sponsors. I call them the Triple H Club. They were a radio guy's dream. Get this, Harley Davidson, Hooters, and Heineken, Triple H. And the perks were fantastic. Every time Harley Davidson sponsored a run, I'd be there to MC events, concerts, send-offs, and parties. And they had a ton of them. Oh, and I'd also MC Hooters and Heineken events. Tough job, but someone had to do it. Oh, and I almost forgot. Gold's Gym was my sponsor, too. And every time they'd open up a new Gold's Gym in Latin America, Lou Ferrigno would come by because he was their celebrity poster boy. We got to hang a bit, but don't think I'm name-dropping here. If I wanted to do that, I'd drop a name of someone people actually remember. Now, I know you have to be pretty old to remember Lou Ferrigno. He was the first Hulk on TV. But what most people don't know is the guy's deaf, or nearly deaf. Oh, he can speak all right, but he can't hear what he's saying, so he gets the words out, but they're not very smooth or cadenced. Great guy, though. So then why am I telling you all this extraneous garbage? Well, because a lot of times in people's emails, they tag on a PS saying something like, Johnny, come on, tell us a little bit more about your extraneous adventures in Latin America. And you know, being the lone gringo radio guy in so many Latin markets was a real experience. And having those particular sponsors, that sort of instantly shoved me into a position where I was rubbing elbows with the upper middle class and rich Latino crowd. So I learned very quickly how classist, racist, and sexist that segment, the upper 5 to 10% of the population, really is. Now, in regards to racism, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the same kind of racism that exists up in the States. It's a different kind of racism down here. You might not believe this, but the racism thing up in the States pales in comparison to what it's like in the middle, upper middle, and wealthy classes here in Latin America. Down here, there's very little racism against blacks, but a hell of a lot against indigenous people. The thing is, if you've got the so-called Indio blood, indigenous blood, the Mayan, Aztec, Toltec, and Inca blood, you find they stick to their own, marry their own, are most likely poor, living in poor neighborhoods, and doing all the poop jobs. Unfortunately, if you're an indigenous person in Latin America, you got one hell of a glass ceiling. The other problem is that people with indigenous blood just can't blend in because they're so easily identified. They're shorter, darker, and, well, obviously indigenous. Whereas the rest of the so-called Latino population have various shades and percentages of European blood, some of them so much so that they look European or gringo, especially in countries like Colombia, Venezuela, Chile, and Argentina, where earlier in the 19th and 20th centuries, Europeans were incentivized to come over, and man, they came. In fact, some of the towns in the boonies of Argentina could easily be mistaken for little Swiss, German, and Austrian villages. I know it sounds strange, but I've been there. You have to see it to believe it. All right, time to offend some people with the following email. Oh, and he told me not to use his name. I can see why. He says, "Dear Johnny, I understand you are something of a musician yourself. I've noticed you don't talk much about it on your show. I'd like to hear some more about it, but it is your show after all. Though, I think it's time for another go at it, especially talking about reggaeton music. As far as I'm concerned, Johnny, music people listen to these days is a dead corpse, but the kids don't know it. And reggaeton music leads the way. All right, me Johnny here, let's stop for a second and explain what reggaeton is for the uninitiated. It is the Latino dumbed-down version of rap and hip-hop, if that's possible. It's extremely popular here in Latin America. It's taken over as the number one music genre. You can hear it blasting out of speakers in every club, disco, even restaurants. And it's the number one music Latinas love to dance to. So you can count on the fact that as much as you may dislike it, it's not going away. In fact, it's so big it spawned its own TV channels, music video industry, and gigantic, heavily sponsored tours. So that's basically what reggaeton music is. Now, as to what it sounds like, I don't want to sound like some old fart by saying it all sounds the same, but it all sounds the same. And the lyrics? Well, remember, I speak Spanish, so I can actually understand the lyrics. Now, I'm dead serious when I say there isn't a fourth grader alive with a serious head injury who couldn't write a reggaeton hit and get a Grammy. Yep, they get Grammys too. All right, that, in a nutshell, is reggaeton music. I won't butt in anymore. I'm going to read the rest of this. He says, "Johnny, I am a music producer, a real music producer. If I told you the people I worked with, you probably wouldn't believe it. Let me just say I've got a file here in my studio with 1,800,000 MIDI files, along with all the chord progressions and drum beats. I've got 800,000 MIDI drum patterns right in front of me from every genre of music possible." He says, "I can prove it if you just go to www.wearethemusicmakers.com, all one word. Then he says, "Now, Johnny, what I and many other so-called computer musicians do," that's what it's come to, we're computer musicians now, "is steal entire sections of songs, apply some synthesizers and some good drum samples, and presto, we have a lively track that no one in the world would ever know. Was created completely without any musicians in the studio. Just regurgitations and snippets from other people's songs. You won't believe how common this practice is. In fact, if you don't do it, you'll never get airplay. It's no different from sampling audio. You're just sampling a MIDI track." Then he says a MIDI track, M-I-D-I, or interface, it's just a computer digital interface with as many music or rhythm tracks on it as you want. He says, "Today, I just call it disposable music because it's not the way real music was made back in the day. In other words, it's just the opposite of what you might call timeless classic music. Whatever your definition of classic music is. Could be symphonic, the old masters, classic rock, classic soul and Motown, or even classic country. That stuff, by my definition, an old school producer slash audio engineer's definition, is real music played by real musicians by really talented people." Then he says, "In the mid-70s, something unforeseen happened. AIDS. That is what, in my opinion, killed disco, Motown, and rock. But it also brought us back into, at least for a small period of time, a short era that produced really good music again. But that post-70s creative peak was very short-lived, less than 10 years. Then, out of the blue, something called rap and hip-hop music was born. And now, looking back, it really should have been stillborn or aborted. Then he says, us old school producers and recording engineers are all in agreement on one thing. Rap and hip-hop music was a boon to every ignorant, no-talent wannabe blood and crypt living in ghetto land. And that contagion soon spread to Latin America, where they call it reggaeton. And the shame of it is, in Latin America, formerly the land of beautiful salsa, mambo, rumba, bachata, and those big horn and percussion conga bands who could do such cool-ass Latin rhythm beats that no one up in the United States could ever touch. Sadly, reggaeton killed them all. Now, Johnny, everyone in the producing and technical area of recording these days knows you don't need any musical talent at all to succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Just luck, attitude, usually a bad one, and theatrics. Because today, the true musical artist is the computer. The fact is, Johnny, when one of these no-talents comes into the studio, we keep our mouths shut because we need the job. 99% of the so-called new talent, within a year or two, will be back into oblivion. In fact, what they call music isn't music at all. It's only speaking and rhyming to other people's electronic beats, otherwise known as sampling, which in my day was called stealing, basically plagiarism. And back then, you could go to jail for it or get a hefty fine. Nowadays, the money flows the other way. Then he says, in all my many years in the music industry, I've seen Elvis take rockabilly to something called rock and roll, then witness the British invasion with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, then progressive rock with Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Yes, and Moody Blues, then punk rock, which I predicted would soon fade away, and it did. But Johnny, never in my life, and I've seen every phase of rock and roll, rhythm and blues, and country, have I witnessed something so negative and degrading as the incursion of rap, hip-hop, and reggaeton. Though I have to give reggaeton some credit, because even though it's more pointless and inane than American rap and hip-hop, that is to say, the lyrics are generally not caustic, just infantile. In that way, it probably does less social damage. So then, Johnny, what do you think us old-school producers and recording engineers talk about when we're sitting around having a few beers? Well, when no one's listening that can influence our paychecks, we talk about how the incursion of rap, reggaeton, and hip-hop single-handedly destroyed every single thing that makes music a thing of lasting beauty and joy. And if you want a simple snapshot of everything that's wrong in society today, just take some of the most popular phrases and best-selling lyrics in rap music, namely, F you, the N-word, and bitch. Count them up the next time you hear a rap song. Just make a mental note every time you hear F you, the N-word, or bitch. Shakespeare would be proud. Truthfully, people who constantly spout that stuff are uneducated, uninteresting, jobless cretins living Instagram fairy tale ghetto lives. And these folks are the superstars of the recording industry right now. In my opinion, and the opinion of my older colleagues in the music business, rap music and reggaeton are blueprints for societal disaster. It's the act of normalizing the inner city drug explosion, mindless violence, self-hatred, and the complete victory of commerce over creativity. How much more proof do we really need? Well, consider this. How many songs from the 60s and 70s have stood the test of time? Like 50 years, let's say. That's a pretty good longevity test. How many songs from those eras are considered classics? Answer, a metric ton, with whole radio stations in every market devoted to just that stuff. Why? Because songs from those eras are timeless, and people still listen to them today, and not just old school guys like me. Young kids are amazed by their qualities and great hooks, too. Moreover, people in the future will be listening to these songs years and years from now and enjoy them as much as people did back in the day when they first came out. Now ask yourself, how many songs can you remember from 10 years ago? From 5 years ago? Even 3 years ago? The Macarena, maybe? Or How Bizarre? Or Moves Like Jagger? Maybe. Will people even remember those songs 50 years from now? In 50 years, probably none. It's not even a fair fight. The real problem is that songs of today are written to hit the sweet spot that provides a few empty calories of enjoyment for the moment. Make a few bucks and then disappear down the ghetto nursery rhyme sewer hole. I like that. And that's why, to those of us who witnessed the real thing back in the day, we 100% believe that the music of today is complete and utter shit. Yes, you can accuse us of being a bunch of old fogies saying those kids of today and their music, that's crap. But remember, we're old fogies that were in the music business. We were up to our elbows in it. We were not spectators. At the risk of repeating myself, I will repeat that the music of yesteryear really was 1,000% better than any of the music today. There just is no comparison. In fact, that behind the closed doors consensus amongst us producers and engineers is to say that music of today is not really music at all. It's just a callous representation of music, a soulless, vapid, vacuous black hole of infinite shite masquerading as music. No subtlety, no soul, no heart, no nothing. Just a bunch of undereducated little egos shouting, "Look at me, look at my pointless hand movements, look at my tattoos, my horrific dental appliances, my bling, my escalade, and my self-mutilation techniques." The message is, all you need to understand about life is that it's all about sex, drugs, money, and being cool. And Johnny, there's another huge factor here people just don't talk about. Music that became classic long ago was written and performed by people who grew up before the age of television, let alone the internet. Musicians and singers from that era actually spent vast amounts of time studying how to play, learning from other great musicians, and reading great literature, poetry, and biographies that provided inspiration for meaningful lyrics that would sweep you away. The key here is meaningful lyrics. That, by all accounts, is a lost art. These people we're talking about were educated, not maybe in the traditional sense with music degrees, but some did have, as opposed to today's typical pop star who's grossly ignorant of the world and talentless by comparison. And there's something else, Johnny, the public has never considered. Ever since the days of Milli Vanilli, we've got electronic voice changers and modulators in every studio now. They're dirt cheap, and they can make anyone sound powerful and edgy, even make a drunk sound on key and sober. Why do you think when you go to a live show these days, there's so much theatrics, bomb throwing, fireworks, and Vegas-style magic? It's all part of an illusion to distract the audience from the usual thin live sound of the singer, as compared to the super steroid-injected sounds we can get in the studio. Though even on stage, they're using sound modulators that can clean up even a thin-sounding singer with paper bags for lungs. Yes, as it turns out, in the past 20 years or so, you don't even have to be on key in the studio anymore, or on stage. Screw talent. Though even with the latest, greatest electronic sound modulators, sometimes still, some groups and so-called artists sound terrible on stage. So think about that next time you tune in to a Music Grammys Award show and Snoop Dogg, another uneducated, no-talent street thug who won the lottery, hands an award to a soon-to-be has-been and calls him or her a genius. In fact, I'd be willing to bet if you listed all the Grammy winners for the past 25 years, 3/4 of them are broke and back in the ghetto. Yes, and you've probably figured this out already. Even in the studio, people like me, engineers, producers, arrangers, and studio musicians have to keep our mouths shut. We have to be PC in the studio. If one day a recording engineer, producer, arranger, whatever, happens to mention the truth that the latest greatest ghetto discovery is a no-talent prick or is just lucky or plain sucks, guess what? The people there, usually no-talent hangers-on in the entourage, will call you racist or sexist and actually try to get you fired or pulled off the project, even though it's precisely your job to make him or her sound professional. In fact, that's why they hired you, because you can tweak the electronics to make a pig's oink into a Kanye contender. But don't you dare tell the truth, that the kid trimming bushes out front could probably lay down a better track. Okay, one final word about reggaeton. It is a huge industry now, employing thousands, along with millions, of hideously tattooed, multiply pierced, self-mutilating wannabe followers. But I have to admit, ladies of all stripes absolutely love dancing and bumping and grinding to it, which is admittedly why cavemen and women invented music in the first place. But when you hear that phrase, lowest common denominator, or keep it simple, stupid, reggaeton really took the ball and ran with that. Though admittedly, the lyrics in reggaeton music aren't nearly as racist, sexist, or anti-authority than rap music, because it's really not about the lyrics for reggaetoneros. In fact, some of their songs drone on for 5, 10, even 15 minutes, using only a tiny handful of actual words. What I mean to say is they're not into the spontaneous, inane, and insane lyrics like rappers are. Truth is, half of them couldn't construct a sentence that would get past a 4th grade grammar teacher, nor could most pass a urine test. So, once again, for the ladies, it boils down to dancing. And for the boys, it's all about sex, cars, money, drugs, and getting over on the cops. Now, for me, Johnny, and my old school music industry buddies, the really, really sad part of all this is that we remember when music lyrics used to involve a bit of poetry. Not all, of course, but in the ones that live on. In fact, in some songs, the lyrics could stand alone as a well-thought-out story. But nowadays, if you separate the lyrics from the so-called music, even an anthropologist couldn't tell if Coco the gorilla or a real-life human wrote the song. There's another angle, you know. My industry music lawyer brother-in-law tells me all the time that 95% of rappers and reggaetoneros who've had a number one song or even multiple hits are dead broke, bankrupt, or just dead by the time they're 35. He says there are dozens and dozens of them in the Hollywood Hills or in South Beach, Miami, six payments behind on the Porsche, sitting on their gold-plated jacuzzis and matching toilet seats with zero talent to do anything else but flip burgers and order Cristal champagne. Not to disparage any of God's creatures, he also said that few of these guys even rate a cashier's job, since their tats and piercings would scare the customers. Well, that's it, Johnny. I bet you thought you could rant. Been listening to your program a long time, and that was just something I had to get off my chest. The saddest thing is there are so few of us old-school recording studio guys left that remember what music played by really talented people was like. We're the baby boom generation, and we're dying off, and some of us are actually looking forward to it. Signed, Donnie K. Could that be? Oh, and he has a P.S. It says, Johnny, you can use any, all, none, or part of this, and edit as you wish. Wow. Donnie K., you said it all. I can't add a single thing except maybe just this little point. Being in radio and working for Latin American radio stations, and sometimes being the least talented guy in a couple of very good touring rock bands, I have met on various occasions many of these reggaetoneros, though I've yet to have met a humble one. You know what they're all thinking? To a man? Next up, my jammy. I'm not kidding. Once they've made it in Latin America and have had kind of a success, everyone has a dream to relocate in Miami, the new epicenter of the Latin music industry. How'd that happen? Can anyone out there explain to me why the epicenter of Latin music is not in Mexico or Brazil or Colombia, even Puerto Rico or any of the 20 Latin American countries? It's in Miami. Is it just me who's thinking there's something wrong with that picture?
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.